Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we come to you again, asking you to speak to our hearts. Help us to hear you, to hear the voice of the Holy Spirit of God speaking the words of Christ to us. In your name we pray. Amen. Now, before I begin, I wanted to draw your attention to just this overview. I thought that might help you. It's just something that I talked to the Sunday school class. I said, you know, one of the things I'm discovering about Revelation, the study coming around, is that we're probably going to be working through it. It's probably going to be a longer process than I had anticipated. And that's all up to God. But this is one of the things that has stood out. Sometimes the big picture really helps us. And if we could look at that, because there is turmoil, trouble in our times, as there has been since the Garden of Eden. But look at Genesis as the beginning. God tells us how it all begins, doesn't he? And then God in his providence and sovereignty, Revelation. Genesis, the first chapter of the book of preparation. Revelation, the last chapter. How it begins and how it's going to end, and the continuance into heaven. So I just thought I'd bring that to your attention, and several of those verses are the ones that Jonathan led us in reading earlier. So, now we'll begin. How about that? He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Are we hearing God? Are you hearing God? And before you answer too quickly, we need to understand that many don't hear him, but they think they do. Many, thousands upon 10,000s really, will sit in churches across our land this morning, assuming that they are hearing God, convinced that they are doing the right thing because someone is standing in the pulpit of their church preaching from the Bible. But the problem is that even though the Bible is used and a lesson is taught, God is not honored as God. And the Word of God is not honored as the Word of God. How could this be? Is this even possible? In church, all dressed up and looking good, message from the Bible, how could this not be a good thing? Let's look at some precedent. And we have plenty of it. An example of this very thing which is available to us in the biblical record in the Old Testament. As crazy or unlikely or preposterous or outside of your religious box as it may sound, we will see from your Bible and mine that the preacher, the prophet, picks up God's word, tells lies, and the people love it. If you turn to Jeremiah 5:31, is that wild or what? The prophet, the preacher, picks up the Bible, tells lies to God's people, and the people love it. Not my thoughts, not my imaginations, word of God. Jeremiah 5:31, I'll read this in the NIV. The prophets prophesy lies. The priests rule by their own authority. And my people love it this way. But what will you do in the end? You may have noticed, probably have noticed, that people love having things their way, whether it is how their burger is prepared, or their morality or immorality, as it may be, or their life direction. People love to choose what they believe is right for themselves. Some people choose what is right for everyone else also. People love to have things their way, but Jeremiah asks, what will that person do when the end comes? What will you do when the choice is in God's hands and no longer yours? We are in a time of turmoil as a nation, and we will have people, both liberal and conservative, many of them standing in pulpits telling us what we should do, who we should believe, even who we should vote for. Some will, in the name of God, call us to certain choices. They will quote and misquote the Bible verses and demand that we listen to God, telling us that God says this and God says that, and what you had better do if you are a good person or a good Christian or a good whatever their context calls for. But here's the thing about speaking for God. If you say that God said it, then you better make sure that he did. Or what will you do in the end when God calls you to account? What will you do in the end when God calls you to account for the words and agendas that you pushed in the name of God? We can collect everyone's opinion and analyze the data from the news services or from Gallup polls, or examine the latest from George Barna, follow Breitbart on the web, whatever suits your fancy. We can talk to all of our Christian friends and share opinions and read books and attend seminars and listen to all our favorite preachers. You've heard Last Man Standing, or maybe some of you have heard Last Comic Standing. Well, how about Last Information Standing? As in, will our information stand up to the judgment of God? We will not be ready if we are not hearing God. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. God is talking to us now. Are we listening? What happens in the end is all about being prepared and ready for the end, having the right information, God's information, before it is too late. The book of Revelation, really the entire Bible, is about preparation. And Revelation is the final chapter in the book of divine preparation, the Bible. Last week we looked at the church at Ephesus, and I made some pretty strong statements concerning their lampstand being removed, even though they seemed strong in the word and taught the Bible. Thankfully, someone asked a question in our evening service last Sunday that led to a discussion relating to this. So I have decided that we need to revisit the church at Ephesus and those strong statements I made. So this is my intent this morning. First, let's look at Revelation 2:7. Revelation 2:7. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To the one who conquers or overcomes, I will grant to eat of the tree of life, which is in the paradise of God. Take note, the one who conquers, the overcomer, will do so from information provided by the Spirit of God, from the Word of God. The person who overcomes is the person who heard the Spirit of God speaking the words of Jesus Christ. I'm learning in this study to pay closer attention to how Jesus Christ identifies himself to each church before he gives them his evaluation. Here is how his communication in Revelation comes to us. Here's the process, the line of communication. Jesus Christ speaks. John writes it down, and the Spirit speaks to the seven churches and eventually to us. We have already seen this, that John was commanded to write down everything he saw, and that too was to be delivered to the seven churches and eventually to us. So how did Christ identify himself to the church at Ephesus? Revelation 2, verse 1. Revelation 2, verse 1, to the angel of the church in Ephesus write, the words of him who holds the seven stars in his right hand, who walks among the seven golden lampstands. When Jesus Christ identifies himself as the one talking, he describes himself differently to each church, but there is a common denominator. in some way, he makes sure that they know that he knows what is going on in the life of that church. He tells them directly, "I know," and then goes on in his evaluation. With the Ephesian church, he develops this even more. He has intimate knowledge of the life and the people of the church at Ephesus because he walks among the churches, surveying the landscape, taking the pulse, evaluating. Picture that for a moment. Christ visiting Western Illinois and walking among the churches here. We remember from Revelation 1:20 that the lampstands are the seven churches. But what does that mean? The lampstand was not the light, but the light holder. That is important. Two things. One, the light is not the lampstand. The light or lamp is placed on the lampstand. Two, if there is no lampstand, then there is no place to put the light. If Christ removes their lampstand, he effectively removes the light of his presence from them. Merriam-Webster dictionary tells us that a lampstand is a pillar, a tripod, or a stand for supporting or holding a lamp. The churches were the light holders, the lamp holders. Vessels from which God would illumine himself, where he would place his light, his holy illumination, his holy fire. God would set his glory on the lampstand to illuminate the world around, to bring clarity, to pierce the darkness. This is what light does. It clarifies, pierces the darkness, pushes away the shadows, allows us to see more clearly, removes ambiguity, and gives us certainty about the truth of God and his word. Let me give an example from the same author. The same John of the Revelation writes in 1 John, in 1 John 5:13, "I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life." That you may know. Clarity. In Sunday school some time back, we discussed the perspicuity of God in his word. Perspicuity refers to clearness of style or exposition, freedom from obscurity, something clearly expressed or presented, lucid, acute perception. Hillbilly terms, God doesn't stutter. Okay, sorry. That actually wasn't in here. Yeah, this is what I get for adding to my script. He plainly speaks his truth to us in his word so we can know what we need to know. So then, if our purpose as a church is to be a lampstand from which God sheds his light onto the world, and if the purpose of the light is to clarify who he is and his creation of this world and the rebellion of humankind and the need for the forgiveness of sins and his eternal plan of salvation only through Jesus Christ and his divine purpose and everything else from Genesis to Revelation, then I hope that we can see that whether or not the pastors and teachers of a church are teaching or preaching from a Bible, that if they are not pursuing the glory of God, if they are not honoring God as God, if they are not clarifying the truth as to who God is and the salvation he offers and his eternal plan and purpose for the ages, then the light is gone from that church. Christ has removed the lampstand, and they are merely casting their own light. Obscuring the truth of God, they receive glory from one another and do not seek the glory that comes from the only God. However, even though the lampstand has been removed, this church may still seem very much alive. Make no mistake, the spiritual dynamic, false or otherwise, in a church of thousands and ten thousands is powerful and soul-stirring. The combined voices of thousands or hundreds in worship and praise and testimony, the camaraderie of the human soul, a strong community outreach, excellent programs for all age groups, the good intentions of good moral people, top it off with a polished, eloquent preacher sharing lessons from the Bible. A very powerful witness indeed. God must be there, but don't be deceived. This may be a brightly shining light from a human perspective in the realm of mere men, but this is not the light of the glory of God. Revelation 2:7a, he who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Many do, in fact, preach from the Word of God. They have a Bible in hand, but instead of clarifying who Jesus Christ is and his salvation and his But instead of clarifying who Jesus Christ is and his salvation and his glory, they do this by their own words. They obscure instead who he is and define God in their terms. And that is not light, but darkness. And many love darkness rather than light. John 3:19. And this is the judgment. The light has come into the world, and people loved the darkness rather than the light, because their works were evil. For everyone who does wicked things hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his works should be exposed. But whoever does what is true comes to the light, so that it may be clearly seen that his works have been carried out in God. The New Bible Commentary tells us that the removal of the lampstand from its place can signify nothing less than the end of Christ's recognition of the church as a church of his. It will become as devoid of Christ as the temple of Jerusalem became empty of God prior to its destruction. End quote. In Luke 13:22, we read, he went on his way through towns and villages, teaching and journeying toward Jerusalem. And someone said to him, Lord, will those who are saved be few? And he said to them, strive to enter through the narrow door. For many, I tell you, will seek to enter and will not be able. When once the master of the house has risen and shut the door, and you begin to stand outside and to knock at the door, saying, Lord, open to us. Then he will answer you, I do not know where you come from. The people who came had previously chosen the wide road of the many over the narrow way of the few. And realizing their mistake, but too late, they knock at the door. Jesus comes to the door. He tells them, I don't know where you come from. Jesus knows those who are his. Have no doubt that there are many, many in our pulpits today who love darkness rather than light, who deny the authority of God and his word, and who do not receive the word of God as the word of God, but as the word of men. They don't want the God of the Bible, but they certainly want his heaven. They obscure the identity of God as creator by diluting the biblical account with evolutionary theory. They use the Bible to speak of creation, but modify the clear message of Genesis by trusting more in the premises and presuppositions of scientists who deny anything and everything supernatural than they trust God's own account in Genesis. They obscure the identity of God as a great and holy and loving God. They apologize and make excuses for a God whom they believe to be judgmental and confrontational. They obscure the sinfulness of humanity and the need for salvation and the forgiveness of sins. They obscure the way of salvation as they teach Jesus Christ as a way to the Father, but not the only way. They deny the judgment of God and the second coming of Christ, and they reject the clear teaching of Scripture on countless other subjects. The list is very, very long. All the while teaching and preaching lessons from the Bible that they have deemed appropriate for human consumptions, from biblical texts of which they have given their approval. Sunday after Sunday, they preach the very word of God that they reject as the word of God. And those on the wide road of the many love to have it this way. They speak glowingly of their churches. The prophet Jeremiah again, same verse, 5:31, Jeremiah. The prophets prophesy lies. The priests rule by their own authority, and my people love it this way. But what will you do in the end? Christ has removed the lampstand. The light of the presence of the glory and majesty of God is gone. Two things here. One, this is not new. And two, this is not uncommon. Jesus warned us about the wide way of the many. This is not make-believe or a pretend enemy. This is not conspiracy theory 101, but the natural progression of fallen, sinful man trying to fill the void in his life. This is religion trying to fill the gaping hole that sin has left. This is dead people trying to make themselves alive by their own efforts. This is darkness trying to shine the light. In the words of Jesus Christ, this is the wide road of destruction. Matthew 6:22, your eye is a lamp that provides light for your body. When your eye is good, your whole body is filled with light. But when your eye is bad, your whole body is filled with darkness. And if the light you think you have is actually darkness, how deep that darkness is. Matthew 7:13, enter by the narrow gate, for the gate is wide and the way is easy that leads to destruction, and those who enter by it are many. Matthew 7:22, on that day, many will say to me, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name and cast out demons in your name and do many mighty works in your name? Matthew 24:5, for many will come in my name, saying, I am the Christ, and they will lead many astray. Mark 13:6, many will come in my name, saying, I am he, and they will lead many astray. Luke 21:8, and he said, see that you are not led astray, for many will come in my name, saying, I am he, and the time is at hand. Do not go after them. Unfortunately, there are many good-hearted folk who are slow to accept this. They think, but they preach from the Bible at their church, and they have Sunday school, they even have prayer meeting. But those are our criteria, not God's, not the Bible speaking. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Truth and light are not necessarily the same. A person can have truth but not walk in the light, but you cannot walk in the light and not have truth. For many churches, the Bible is merely the hook. But preaching and teaching from the Bible does not mean that you are sharing the light of God and His glory. We need spiritual discernment, so we are going to go again to the Old Testament for another powerful example. A case study in which the churchgoers under review claim the wisdom of the Bible and at the same time reject the word of God. We enter the scene this time as the children of Israel claim wisdom because they, quote, had the word of the Lord, just as many do today. Jeremiah 8, verse 8. Jeremiah 8, verse 8. I'm going to read this in the New Living Testament and then the ESV. Jeremiah 8, verse 8. How can you say we are wise because we have the word of the Lord, when your teachers have twisted it by writing lies? These wise teachers will fall into the trap of their own foolishness, for they have rejected the word of the Lord. Are they so wise after all? ESV, how can you say we are wise and the law of the Lord is with us? But behold, the lying pen of the scribes has made it, the law of the Lord, into a lie. The wise men shall be put to shame. They shall be dismayed and taken. Behold, they have rejected the word of the Lord. So what is wisdom to them? The reasoning was that we've got the Bible, so we have the wisdom of God. Some either don't understand because they haven't been taught, or they refuse to understand the biblical reality that, quote unquote, having the Bible means nothing if we twist the words to bring them in line with what we want to believe. Paraphrasing our text, Jeremiah says, look, the lying pen of the scribes has made the Bible into a lie. And he goes on to say that they have rejected the Bible, the word of the Lord. Again, this is not new. This is not uncommon. The scribes forced their interpretation on Holy Scripture and turned the truth into a lie. They did not bring light and clarity to the text, but darkness and obscurity. Even though they claimed to have the wisdom of the word of the Lord, the reality was that they had rejected the word of the Lord. Let's bring this teaching to 2016. We have churches all across this country, and it seems to be getting worse, not better, who claim the wisdom of the Bible, but in fact reject the word of the Lord. So Jeremiah asks this question, what wisdom is in them after all? Then Jeremiah speaks to their motivation. He continues by pronouncing judgment and identifying greed as their main motivation. He calls their prophets and priests frauds, as they offer superficial answers instead of addressing the true needs of the people. In a vain attempt to put their fears and worries at rest, the prophets give assurances of peace when there is no peace. Jeremiah 8:10, I will give their wives to others and their farms to strangers. From the least to the greatest, their lives are ruled by greed. Yes, even my prophets and priests are like that. They are all frauds. They offer superficial treatments for my people's mortal wound. They give assurances of peace when there is no peace. Let's look at a modern day application. Everyone is brought into this world under a death sentence because of the sin of Adam. Consequently, we are all dead in our trespasses, lost, no hope. Ephesians 2:1, and you were dead in your trespasses and sins. And there is one way and only one way out of our predicament, redemption through Jesus Christ. Ephesians 1:7, in him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses according to the riches of his grace. Ephesians 2:4-5, but God, being rich in mercy because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. But we will this morning, across this country, at this very moment, have preachers in the pulpit who do not believe in the sinfulness and the depravity of humanity, who do not believe that apart from Christ, we are dead in our sins and doomed to everlasting judgment, who will hand out superficial remedies to our mortal wounds. Their people in their congregations will feel great walking out of church this morning. But what will they do in the end? The assurances of these fraud preachers will yield devastating consequences at the judgment as they stand before the same Lord whose words they have twisted into lies. But possibly the greater irony is that this is what the people love. People love to hear what they want to hear. People love to be deceived. Jeremiah 5:30-31, we visited there twice already. An appalling and horrible thing that has happened in the land. The prophets prophesy falsely and the priests rule at their direction. My people love to have it so. But what will you do in the end? John 3:19, and this is the judgment. The light has come into the world and people love the darkness rather than the light because their works were evil. Now back to the church at Ephesus. The church at Ephesus was the perfect example for Christ to use to demonstrate that preaching or teaching from the Bible does not necessarily mean a church is serving with God's blessing. The lampstand is a place of blessing upon which God will set his light for the church that honors him as Lord. This is a tremendous privilege which we should hold dearly as a church. We might look at the Ephesian church as the Bible church of their day. They were all about the Bible, all about rooting out false teachers and false doctrine. What they had forgotten was first love, keeping their love for God first, above and beyond anything else. Bible teaching, even pursuit of false teachers and doctrine, is not the same as the light of God's glory and presence being evident in the lamps, on the lampstand, the vessel, the place of God's blessing, the place where God comes down in his glory and shows himself. The lampstand in the midst of Jesus Christ's presence is a place of great privilege. Now, the words many of you were waiting for, conclusion. Do you have a secure line of communication? The Lord said, if you have an ear to hear, we need to hear God. We need to make sure the information across the line is not corrupted. Have you seen one of these spy thrillers and the secret agent calls someone and they say, is this a secure line? Because they don't want any corruption in the communication or someone listening in. Well, there is one secure line of communication with God. Our holy God speaks. He directed holy men of God to write the words down. And the Holy Spirit of God teaches us the God-breathed words. When the line of communication is broken, when anyone changes the words or God's intent, no matter how well-intentioned, then the line is no longer secure. It has been corrupted, and you can no longer trust the communication coming across that line. The absurdity of it all? By default, humans love to receive their information over corrupted, insecure lines of communication, because on the corrupted lines, we can tune in to what we want to hear. But what will you do in the end? On whom or what are you trusting? Have you been listening to God on a secure line? He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. On what information are you basing your future? Are you ready for the final chapter of your life? Ready for the final chapter of life as we know it on planet Earth. Our Lord tells us that He is the beginning and the end, the first and the last, the Alpha and Omega, the one who is and who was and who is to come, the Almighty. It's all about God. Are you ready? Let's pray. Father, we again thank you for this day. I pray that you've spoken to our hearts, that we've heard the voice of God through a vessel as weak as he is and imperfect, but the voice of God through your words of truth. We pray for your transforming by the renewing of our minds. We pray for a true desire to follow you in a way that honors you as God. We receive the word of God as the word of God, and that we are thankful people. Thank you. We praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.